Hey everybody, this is J-Bo. You have reached the shit show with J-Bo. I hope you're well. I hope you had an amazing Memorial Day. My Memorial Day actually felt like a holiday. It was kind of cool. I didn't have to work. I went out to some grave sites with my grandmother and my aunt. I ate some all-American food. Some hot dogs. Some hamburgers. Potato salad. Pea-pickin' cake. If you've never had pea-pickin' cake, you should go get some pea-pickin' cake. It is wonderful. It's got pineapple in it. The recipe is from Georgia. It involves eating a pig while eating the pea-pickin' cake. It's a traditional southern dessert. It's wonderful. It's making my mouth water right now. What else? I just got a weird blackmail text. Somebody is threatening me. I'll read it to you. It's really fucking bizarre. So this person needs my total attention for 24 hours or they will make sure that I live the rest of my life out in embarrassment. He knows my contact list on Facebook, smartphone contacts. He says he has engaged spyware, he or she, on my phone or computer, and says he has a detailed video of me masturbating. That's what this person claims. Now, he doesn't know much about me, obviously, because I haven't watched pornography in like 3 months, honestly. Like, I'm over it. I thought it was just bad. It's just bad for men. Pornography's terrible. I mean, aside from turning you into a cuck, you know, watching somebody else, like, have sex, it just destroys all your chances of, you know, procreating, of finding a woman. So all you guys out there, just quit. Just give it up cold turkey. I know it's fun. I know you're in quarantine. But the truth is, from what I've heard, if you want to get laid, you quit laying yourself, right? You go out, it forces you. And then, you know, the female species might look at you in a certain way and go, hey, that guy's ready. He's ready to pop. Let me go talk to him. As opposed to the guy with hairy palms who is going blind and is so worn out and shameful, just shamed themselves into nothingness, that they can't even look a woman in the eye with any kind of confidence. So just stop. And anyway, I'm going to tell this blackmail artist to go fuck themselves because I'm almost certain there was no masturbating in front of a camera or a computer anytime recently. And they want Bitcoin, I guess. They want me to purchase $1,000 in Bitcoin and send it to an address, or they're going to put some tapes out there of me doing something. I don't know. It's really fucking bizarre. I'm just not going to reply. I think it's silly. I hope it doesn't happen. I mean, that'd be embarrassing, but I'll tell you what, it wouldn't be as embarrassing as sending fucking $1,000 to some asshole, you know. So how's everybody doing out there? This week, a couple days ago, I talked with Dave. Sorry, let me let that sink in. How's everybody doing out there? Where are you listening right now? Hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, just Google TSS with J-Bo. I'd love to hear from you. Hey Amber, what's going on? Hey Jamie, shout out to all y'all. And Dylan, possibly. Anyway, I talked with Dave again this week. It was a good talk. I think we got a pretty nice rhythm. No crosstalk, not a lot of crosstalk anyway. Very little editing. Just a free-flowing, mellow conversation about all the crazy things that are happening in the world. The big one that I was concerned with is the elderly. And we talked about all kinds of stuff. I'm just going to probably have to shut the fuck up right now and let you guys listen to the conversation that me and Dave had. I think it's good. What else has been happening with me? I got a video for my song about the pandemic, the Wuhan with me. I got this guy in L.A. It's taken about a month. A month ago, 5 weeks ago, it was more relevant, because I think the Wuhan virus, the Chinese virus, the Kung flu, that's terrible. I'm sorry I said that. The COVID-19, the coronavirus, the novel coronavirus that we are all experiencing. God, it's such a strange time to live. I mean, I've never felt like this in my life. It's so weird. It's so eerie. And, you know, I was talking to a coworker the other day how the trends that are happening right now during the coronavirus that we will all, that will be, leave indelible images, you know, in our memory banks. You know, the Tiger King. Remember when Tiger King was king, like, 2 months ago? It seems like an eternity ago. But back then, it was literally, it was like COVID and Tiger King. And then for me, it was writing that song, and if I listened to that song, Wuhan, with me. And as soon as that video comes out, I'm going to do a podcast dedicated to the song, and you guys can hear it. And actually, you can go hear it right now. You can go to iTunes or where Joe Rogan went, Spotify, and listen to it. It's by the Million Dollar Pussy Boys, and that's Wuhan with me, and you spell out the with, the W-I-T-H. But it's interesting to think about the things that when you get triggered, like you'll see a mask and everybody in the world will be like, wow, I remember those fucking, that 6 months, you know, or I'm going to listen to that song and I'll be like, oh my God, I remember that, you know, just the images, like, I don't know, like staying inside, playing a certain video game, whatever it is. Anyway, I'll let you guys go for a second. I'm going to play the theme song and then me and Dave are going to talk. Thank you so much for listening. Here's my theme song.
What's going on, Dave?
Not too much, man. Saturday evening.
Yeah.
I got some ant bites on my toes. That's not good.
You know, when you said that, I flashed back to some kind of reality when I was a child, and that was like a thing that happened in St. Augustine quite frequently, and it's just really mildly annoying, right?
A little bit, yeah. I could feel them, you know, and I kind of want to itch them, but I'm not going to.
Right. And
that's the challenge. I might lose track, you know, if I'm not really thinking about it, I'll find myself scratching my ant bites. But
you might wake up in the middle of the night scratching the fuck out of them, then like punch yourself in the face because you're so pissed off.
yeah. There's no good outcome here.
I also remember sand spurs walking to the beach, man. You know, we lived on A1A growing up. It was really cool. It's a really great place now. It's better then, less people, but, we'd walk across from like the pagoda, which was like this lesbian compound right by the house. But then we'd walk through the, you know, the sea oats and all this, and the sand was so white and hot. My mom would like throw down a towel. We'd have to jump on this towel, but then like we'd get these sand spurs in our feet. She'd be picking, you know, the salt and get in the wound and picking them out of your toes. It was kind of a torturous experience, but it was great. You know, I wouldn't trade it. That's how St. Augustine is, though.
Well, I think they're called lesbian communities, not compounds. But
right.
Cool.
Totally, man. So, man, what the hell's going on in the world of, you know, politics and news media? I know you seem to be chomping at the bit this week to drop some knowledge on our listeners, and I have a couple things to say. I wondered, let's get into it, man. What's going down?
Well, I think the thing that got me most fired up this week was Alan Dershowitz and saying that it's not even arguable that the government has a right to forcibly inoculate people.
Right.
I just found his kind of confidence that the Supreme Court, really, it wouldn't be much of a difficult decision for them.
Do you think the Supreme Court would back that we don't have the right to not infect other people by not getting a vaccine? Do you think they'd back that, or do you think they would shoot it down? What would happen there?
Well, I don't think it would be a blanket thing. It's a would have to be a case by case sort of issue. If you had airborne Ebola that spread by a sneeze, that might be different than the cold. So you have risk factors that you have to take into account, and you know, with COVID, the death rate is starting to look lower and lower. You would also have to look at the efficacy of any sort of whatever shot, and does it work? You know, you can't force somebody to take something that doesn't necessarily work for something that is low risk of death.
Right. Just because you want to set some kind of standard and prove the anti-vaxxers wrong. Yeah, right. And then you take into consideration the elderly population. So that's kind of an interesting one. As you spoke, I was thinking about that. You know, I've been thinking a lot about elderly rights, man, and how they are spoken of, and just the little comments that make people think a certain way about them. They're like this monolithic people that like are just going to die because of this thing. I mean, do you vaccinate the elderly? Because in essence, you are giving, you know, you can give an able-bodied person, those people aren't dying from it anyway, but you give an elderly person a vaccine, I mean, how much does the risk raise of them actually getting infected and dying from it, you know?
Yeah, I believe the elderly need a stronger dose of vaccine to make it effective. For the antibodies to take hold, it has to be a stronger vaccine than you would give an 18-year-old.
Wow.
And so that puts them at higher risk because a vaccine, essentially, I don't know what they're doing now, but historically it sort of shoots you up with part of that virus or kind of a weak version of that virus. But in many cases, when that happens, it gets people sick. So that's the risk factor associated with vaccinations, which is another thing that the Supreme Court would have to consider, and Dershowitz did mention, but, you know, who knows what's safe, you know, what's the line drawn there? That has to be associated with risk of death as well. You know, if they're about the same in terms of harm, if they're both as deadly, of course the government has no right to shoot people up with a vaccine.
Right. I mean, there's going to be a ton of people that don't get the fucking vaccine, and they're going to raise fucking hell. I mean, you're going to start some wars here, forcibly trying to vaccine people. Because, you know, I mean, what, a third of the population straight up will not do it. You try to force those people, what's going to happen then?
I don't even want to speculate at this point, but
I'll speculate, man. All hell's going to break
loose. Do it.
Well, you know, I've never had a fucking flu vaccine, and yes, it kills elderly, and the flu is much more dangerous, much more deadly to young people and babies. To my knowledge, COVID's never killed anybody under the age of, well, very few under the age of 30. You know, most of, you know, the median age of it killing people is actually older than the natural death, you know, from what I've heard. So I've never got a flu vaccine because the thought of getting the flu just to have a vaccine made me want to puke. I never get the flu anyway, so... I mean, that's logic to me follows the COVID, you know, deal. I feel like I'm healthy. Although I did wake up and I did have shortness of breath. And I told you we were going to do this podcast this morning. I couldn't tell if it was a panic attack or actually, I don't know. I mean, I've had this before, right? Like I have some structural strangeness in my chest cavity from birth. And so I've woken up short of breath before in my life, but usually I can attribute it to like wearing tight clothes or, taking what's that shit that people trying to bulk up their muscles take? It just shoots a bunch of water into your muscles. I forget what it's called, but I usually can attribute it to something. But I woke up, I got up for a couple hours, and it really scared me. And I think me thinking about it and just made it so much worse. And by the morning time, I convinced myself, just like my roommate who I was talking shit about, you know, 2 weeks ago, convinced myself that, oh, maybe I have this thing. And I was going to go to the ER, but then, you know, I was like relaxing. As soon as I would start thinking about something else, you know, playing guitar or going outside, all of a sudden I didn't have that feeling. So I felt like it was physiological, you know. Have you had any of those experiences, Dave?
Yeah, a few times I've kind of had maybe a sneezing attack or coughed one too many times and kind of, yeah, worried, you know? And I've just been like, sucks, I probably have it. Just going to go to bed, and if I wake up with a sore throat, then I'll deal with it. But, yeah, it's kind of scary. But, you know, I haven't gotten sick. But, yeah, it is panic-inducing. You get your mind going about, okay, well, what happens if this happens, you know? Like, I'm going to need X, Y, and Z, and I can't go get it, so I'm going to have to talk to people to help me to bring me stuff or whatever. You know, just you go through the process of, like, what happens if I get sick, and that is a worrying process.
Yeah, I had to come to the grips that literally today in my thought process was like, well, I could die. Like, okay. So, you know, I had to like, it's like you're on an airplane, you realize, okay, you could die, so you got to be cool with it. So I had to come to that conclusion. And then I was like, oh my God, I saw my grandmother 2 days ago. You know, like, there's all this wild shit going through my head. Well, and then I was like, yeah, I'm the guy talking all that shit online, you know, and then I'm the one that dies from it. That'd be great.
Yeah. For me, it's actually gotten much better as the more we've learned. Like, towards the middle of March, you know, I'd be sitting on my porch and the wind would blow and I would like turn my head and try not to breathe because we didn't know how airborne it was, you know, and like what the deal was.
And your neighbors be watching your ass going like, hey man, is that guy schizophrenic? No. Every time the wind blows, he just doesn't want to catch the COVID. Oh, cool. Word.
But I guess, yeah, my point is that the more we've learned, like now what they're saying is you can't even really get it that much from surfaces. You know, it's really being in not even casual contact with somebody who has it, but being in constant contact or long-term in the same space as somebody for a relatively extended period of time. And that is far, far different than what we thought even a month ago.
Well, don't you think it could be this? I mean, like, my conspiratorial mind starts thinking, like, you know, they probably could have told us this. They probably could have gave us the objective scenario, like maybe they're giving now. But maybe this is a way that the messaging that's coming out. Maybe they did just discover it. But maybe the messaging is coming out now that it's, like, so they can easily back off their narrative. You know, like they, as in the people that are giving us these messages, same people that said 2 million were dead, and then you know, that it, you know, giving us charts of people breathing, you know, in a grocery store and sneezing, and like you see this green plague go three aisles over. You know, do you think they're really just discovering it now, or do you think they're kind of backing off their own narrative to save their ass and be like, oh yeah, no, we're cool, we get it, we just learn more about it now?
Well, I don't know if we had discussed this on this show, but I've had discussions where it's been compared to sort of the hurricane situation where, yeah, the news shows this giant red dot covering the entire state of Florida, and everybody needs to be freaked out. Everybody needs to go buy supplies. Everybody is going to get Cat 5 winds. So what that is, that's the worst-case scenario, maximum preparation. Be as safe as possible. Since we don't necessarily know what it is, better safe than sorry. Right. And I think in this case, we were not better safe than sorry, because there are real huge downside effects to the economy. And funnily enough, what the data is showing now is the states that have relieved their lockdowns are now having fewer new cases per capita than states and places that still have their lockdowns.
Now,
that's
a real
eye-opener.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But I wonder if, like, even the machinery involved with the state, the governor, let's say, you know, it's a trickle-down thing, right? Let's say Florida. The governor is he's conservative. He's a buddy with Trump. He's a buddy with my brother, your friend. You know, it behooves both, you know, they have their own machinery to report the results of what's going on. Now, if you're a Republican state, you want to report less deaths. You know, so that's your bias. If you're a Democrat state, you want to report more because you're a fucking terrible fascist and you want to keep these people in their houses. I'm kind of making a joke, but do you think that could play into the numbers we're seeing? Like, by virtue of if it is a red or a blue state that they are reporting in that manner to fulfill their own narrative? Do you know what I mean?
I do, but I don't believe the states actually do the reporting. Let me pull up this Johns Hopkins. You know, the testing is done primarily by private businesses. So I don't think actual data is being messed with here. Mm-hmm. I guess what, you know, you could consider is a situation where, you know, the blue state governors are just really pushing testing. Everybody needs to get tested. And that is a political talking point. I don't care that, you know, they're trying to say it's a health issue. It's Mika Brzezinski. Every other word she says is testing. And so.
But it's a double-edged sword, right? Because they test, the more they test, the more the death rate goes down.
Oh, well, yeah. But I just, with the media and their biases, if they get bad news, they just don't report it. If they get something that doesn't fit their story, they just don't report it. You know, if the death rate starts to decline, they're not going to start talking about it. They're just going to say 100,000 deaths, and that's what they've been saying. And
or they'll start just talking about the cases.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we don't know if they're reporting people that are sick. I don't really know. I mean, maybe the info's out there. But, like, if somebody just has an antibody, like, if somebody has an antibody in the sniffles, if they count that as a case, I guess, but it's not like somebody's on their deathbed, you know, so.
Right, and that's what I meant by blue state governors might be pushing testing more than a red state governor. A red state governor might say, if you're sick, get tested. While a blue state person, governor might say, everybody has to get tested.
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting, man. You know, before I just kind of chomping at the bit a little bit to talk about this elderly rights thing. I want to move on into what Trump has done. My brother had a decent point, Farron, talking about how he thinks he kind of fucked up, you know, and he's given these people the power to really shut down the country, you know, and whatever. We'll get into all that. But, you know, the elders, you know, my father is in a nursing home. And he's been in there, well, he's been about a year and a half, but the last 2 months, 2.5 months ago, whenever it was, they told me I couldn't come around anymore. You know, total lockdown, guys of safety. I get it. This is a population that is vulnerable. Now, my father does have some comorbidities, but he's not like a sick person. You know, I don't think this would kill him. I mean, he's gotten the flu before, and he's lived through that. He has some mental stuff going on, but not exactly the same thing. And basically, every time you hear the media talk about the elderly, well, the elderly are still going to be locked down. They really are. And what that means is, like, they legitimately have no contact with the outside world. I mean, I'm sorry, they do, like telephone and Zoom and all this bullshit. But you can't go visit them. You know, in essence, they're imprisoned. There was this recent insane story about this kid named Jaden Hayden. And I haven't been so pissed off in a long time. Like, he was beating the fuck out of elderly people with, like, dementia, you know? And it was if you went to his YouTube page, you got the idea that it was kind of race-driven, you know? And he had mentioned those white guys shooting the black guy, you know, the Arbery case. But, my God, have you seen those videos, Dave?
I just saw the one. I couldn't see who he was punching, but I just saw a guy just punching. And
well, tape gets worse. That tape gets worse. And he was beating the shit out of old women too. And he's a boxer. And, like, you know, we barely heard about it. You know, Tucker Carlson did it. I saw it on Twitter before I heard about it, like, in a mainstream news thing. But, you know, you got to think that the attitude towards the elderly, you know, is contributing to this type of thing. Like, they feel like, it feels like they are being mentioned like this monolithic portion of society that can just be cast away, that's just going to kind of die. And you look at what Cuomo supposedly did, and he blames Trump or whatever, but, you know, sent the COVID positive people back to the nursing homes. And you just start to think that, I think somebody needs to start speaking for these elderly people, because nobody is speaking for them. And the government, that's where they're keeping their control, is on this portion, under the guise of safety, as usual. Any thoughts on that, Dave?
Yeah, I think that when you tell elderly people that they have to do something that the rest of the population does not have to do, that is clearly discrimination against the elderly. When you tell family members that they can't go visit, then that opens the door to elder abuse in those homes, because the only regulation is that the fact that there's some, you know, some kids and grandkids walking around, that, you know, that holds would-be elder abusers back a little bit. But so when you take those regulators out of the situation, that just makes it a little bit worse.
These people are absolutely, like, you know, they have no defense. They're the most defenseless, aside from the unborn children. They're the most defenseless point part of society, and it's just being talked openly. And then you see this kid beating up. I mean, that tape, I know it just looked like he was, you know, you saw a probably edited version. It looked like he was punching this dude in the back of the head. Well, he was. But then he sat the guy up, and it was off camera, and it was just, it was horrifying. And then you pull it back, and you see this guy who had just taken a beating to his face, and he's bleeding. The kid, like, puts a fucking sheet on his face, and the guy's eyes haunted me, man. I can just see them, and it was just like this sick man who is in this position. I mean, I guess, thank God, the fucking idiot child, who's probably like 23 years old, taped it. We wouldn't know, but, like, how often is this shit going on? It's fucking terrible, dude.
Well, in some cultures, like the Japanese culture, the older you get, the more revered you are. But yeah, it seems like in our culture, which seems to be more just a little bit sick and a little bit infatuated with money.
And youth.
And the elderly are seen as a drain on society. And that's the choice you make as a culture. Do we...
Right.
Learn from our elders? Do we gain knowledge from them, or do we shun them? And that can be your destiny. If you're not going to learn from people who have wisdom, then your culture is going to degrade over time. And I think that's one of many problems that American culture is experiencing at the moment. And you go back to some of those dystopian movies from the 70s, I like Logan's Run myself.
Mm-hmm.
But as a form of population control, they kill everybody when they turn 35. They don't exactly... they don't tell everybody. They make up some ruse about what's happening to those people. But you turn 35, you're croaked, because you're no longer as efficient and you become more of a cost. And
what a disgusting, short-sighted viewpoint.
It is.
Yeah, that's a really good that Logan's Run. I need to watch that. I had no, if you had asked me, I thought that was like a race with like Burt Reynolds or something. Is Burt Reynolds in it?
No, you're thinking of Cannonball Run.
Okay, different movie.
totally different. Yeah, Logan's Run's funny, man. It has this robot in it. And it's just so Logan's Run won Best Special Effects in 1976, the Oscar for it, and Star Wars won it in 1977. And the difference between the two movies is so vast, it looks like Logan's Run was made in the 40s or something. But it's got this goofy robot that is some sort of kelp machine. It's fucking weird. Anyway, sorry.
That's cool. Yeah, I remember seeing Death Race 2000 once on a little black and white TV. My mom had a boyfriend, and, like, Eddie White, he lived out by some river. He had a little black and white TV with rabbit ears, you know, and just picked up this signals like a radio would for all the younger listeners. And I watched Death Race 2000. Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's got Sylvester Stallone in it, and it's about a race that just kills people. It's like a race around wherever, I don't know, the world or America, but it just the point is to just mow people down and kill them with the car. And I remember being completely freaked out by it, you know, kind of this weird futuristic movie from probably a similar era is what you're talking about. I would guess the 70s at least.
Yeah, there were a lot of those dystopian movies in the 70s. And one that keeps popping into my mind recently is one called Rollerball. And I don't know, I was watching a TV show or a movie or something that brought up Rollerball just like yesterday, the day before. And I was like, one of those weird things, like, man, I've been thinking about Rollerball for 2 weeks.
It
but
popped
the reason,
up.
Huh?
It popped up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plate of shrimp.
Yeah, yeah. So part of a cosmic unconsciousness.
Yeah. So in Rollerball, essentially the world they lived in was controlled by one giant corporation. Everybody worked for the same corporation. And that's kind of one of the uglier things I'm seeing going on in the economy right now, where this thing's trending. And you see the stock market going up and the economy getting crushed.
Yeah.
What that means is that the S&P 500, the giant corporations, are doing just fine. But everybody else is getting screwed. So do you want to live in that world where, you know, maybe in 10 years they have to make it the S&P 100 because there's been so much consolidation and it continues and continues, and then there's five companies and then there's one, and you know, that's kind of the start of a trend that I'm seeing happening now with, and it's been happening obviously since before the 70s because they made Rollerball about it, but it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, that's very interesting when you see the world, some of the world's great billionaires, you know, great, whatever, sorry I said that, I don't know why. The world's billionaires are doing real well, real well. All the major box stores are open, thriving. Hey, there ain't no spikes in COVID in those places. You know, Walmart has got like it's kryptonite for COVID, I guess. But meanwhile,
well, and Mitch McConnell's number one goal is to limit liability of corporations.
What does that mean?
If you go into Walmart and you catch COVID, you can't sue Walmart.
Huh.
That's his number one goal.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
I mean, I'm not, you know, like, well, it's important in a way. You know, it's not totally silly because if you want to open the country, you don't want businesses afraid that they'll be sued.
No, totally. I get it. But when you say Walmart is his business of choice, does it go across
the country? No, that's... Well, who knows? It would not just be Walmart. It would be all companies. I would hope. You never know how these things would go. And once a lobbyist gets their hooks into it, maybe it's just the S&P 500. You know? But,
I believe they call that indemnification. Is that right?
I think so, yeah. But like restaurants, you know, if you catch something, which makes total sense. I mean, if you get the flu at a restaurant, you can't sue. If you get the flu at... You know, I don't know if that works for food poisoning, but I can't. If you gave me the flu, I couldn't go to the cops and be like, Jesse gave me the flu. It's not a crime.
If I gave you AIDS, you might be able to, though.
Well, yeah, except not in California. They just changed that law.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It used to be illegal everywhere in the country to purposely have sex with somebody while you knew you had AIDS. That is, I believe, still illegal in 49 states, but in California, they just changed the law last year. So how can they say you have to be forcibly inoculated, but you're allowed to go have AIDS and distribute it?
Have AIDS, yeah. Wow. Very interesting, man. You know, you had mentioned I think I'd heard what you just said at some point in the past, but you just brought it back up. That's interesting. You talked about Wall Street and the Dow and all that. I was noticing something this week, and tell me, it's probably fairly obvious to people, but you know how there is such a thing called fake news media, and you know they tend to shift public perception. And I was just looking at stocks, and like I would notice one day, you know, because I bought some travel stocks because they're a little risky, but you know, maybe it's a high yield in a year. Who knows? Hopefully, high yield for me anyway. I noticed like one day they'd be just soaring, right? And then all of a sudden you'd get an article from like CNN, and it would be like a leftist media that, you know, it's they would rather the economy not flourish, and they'd come out with some like, you know, reverse puff piece on Carnival cruises or on cruise lines in general. Like whatever stock seemed to be soaring, but like that day there'd be an article that came out, and all of a sudden the stock would start to drop. Now, is this a thing, Dave? I feel like it definitely is, but like I wonder if you've noticed that, where there will literally be propaganda pieces or biased media pieces to like control people's faith in the market, and it's not even based on anything other than like a fake news scenario. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. I've been noticing that for many years now.
That's the thing.
So it can be a couple of things. I mean, many things, but a couple things are if a stock is up, CNN would be more likely to write something good about it. If a stock is down, they would be more likely to write something bad about it. So there's a cause and effect where they're actually slow to the game. Also, there's a lot of money in that stock market. And there's a lot of people who are well-connected and powerful and can drop a story to CNN and say, hey, drop this story because I sold my stocks yesterday and I want to buy some more in 2 weeks at a lower price or some shit like that. It can be gamed. And I assure you that Carnival Cruise Line didn't go down 15% because CNN wrote an article about it. I guarantee that's not what it was.
Okay. What do you think it was? Just you think it was just natural cause, whatever the
just
fuck.
Buyers and sellers. Buyers and sellers. There were more sellers than there were buyers.
Right. Right.
It's. I mean, these things move in ways that have to do with requirements of hedge funds, and they need to sell to cover another position or some shit like that. You know, it's just. It's not what we think it is.
So it's not black and white political either. It's somebody who has a stake in wherever. And yeah, you know, it's really weird. I was trying to explain to my roommate the other day about he's like, man, how does it work, dude? I should have gotten Spirit. I'm like, bro, you got time on Spirit, man. It's kind of floundering, you know. He's like, how does it work? Does it just go up a couple dollars and you make money? I'm like, yeah, but then, like, for some reason it hits, you know, a certain dollar mark, and I never realized this until you kind of clued me into it that one time, and then it starts dropping again, you know. And I wondered, like, who starts these trends, Dave? I don't get off on a tangent financially, but like, do you know, like, is there an email chain somewhere? Is there an underground, you know, whatever encrypted site where people can go, hey, we're going to pump and dump this? How do those trends work, man?
The markets are huge. There are tons of, a ton is not a great measure of money, but there are millions and millions and billions of dollars, and nobody can really control the market, maybe for a particular stock for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. But the market, as I look at it, is sort of its own separate animal that has its own kind of, it moves on instinct because nobody can control it. So when you're looking at these levels, why does it stop here? Or a trend? Why is it going up? Why is it going down? That's just how it is. And sometimes when you have, okay, the market stopped here 3 times because that's where either certain people wanted to sell or over time, that's how it played out. Then people start to get clued in on these charts and start to see, well, that's a level that will be difficult to get above.
Mm-hmm.
So sell it there and
wait for it to drop and buy some more.
Take your profits there. Yeah. And then if it goes above that, then you're free to buy it until it gets to that next level. Mm-hmm. Then when it gets to that next level, you sell it. And it goes back down to the previous level that is now a support level. So you can buy it again. So there's really, it's a natural occurrence. And then people get wind to it and start trading based on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The natural is not, you know, it's a money flow occurrence, but... So I don't know. It ain't based on.
Yeah. So you don't think there's some conspiracy or some underground fucking railroad of information? You think it's? I see. There's natural trends with it. People start picking up on these trends and they roll with the flow and they go with the winds and they rise it as it's going and they kind of know where to sell off. You know, just to make that profit. These are like less long term traders, more day traders, I guess you would say, right?
Yeah, big money creates those important levels. However, I will say that when you deal with these small cap companies and you have like right now we're in an interesting time because I keep seeing stories about where there are more new traders starting Robinhood accounts and starting TD Ameritrade accounts than like ever in history.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going on to like Reddit and doing this kind of, you know, hey, let's pump it to 20 and then sell it.
Oh, wow.
And that might work for half of them or 10% of them or 5%. You know, but then even if that's your market, 100 people in a chat room, okay, so we're going to sell it 100. How about I front run that and sell it at 99? And then I actually, you know, I'm safe. Mm-hmm. And then somebody's like, well, how about I sell it at 98? Or how about I sell it at 94? You know? Right. So even in a market like that,
mm-hmm.
you can't trust anybody. You can't trust somebody to agree to a fucking Reddit board. You know? And that's how, you know, when people talk about collusion amongst the big banks or whatever in terms of stock prices, I don't think that's real either. Because if they had an agreement, one of them would break it.
Yeah, yeah. Dog eat dog world, motherfucker. But okay, good. Nice. That clears up a couple things there for me. That's some thoughts that ran through my head this week when I was seeing articles like CNN. You're fucking up my boy Trump, and you're fucking up my stocks. Fuck you. What's going on? You know. But it ain't exactly like that as far as you're concerned.
Yeah. I wonder if they're reporting on Joe Biden. I think they're talking about Joe Biden's unfortunate phrasing on The Breakfast Club with Charlemagne the God.
First of all, I think the fact that mainstream media are referring to a guy named Charlemagne the God is like, it's just a funny-ass name. but you know,
take the
balls
to call yourself the God.
I know. There's
it's
another guy.
Wu-Tang.
Have you ever heard T.I.?
Yeah.
He's like that, too. I mean, okay, it's not a godly name, but the way he speaks, man, he speaks of himself in very, very high terms, man. He definitely considers himself some kind of sex god, which I question, you know, personally. But, yeah, the Biden thing, man. You know, it's one of those things where if you watch it closely, if you watch the clip closely, you don't just have the pull quote. He was making a joke. I mean, it was a – you know, I understand it. Probably a dumb joke for somebody in his position. But he's kind of being bold, kind of being, you know, flipping or whatever. So my opinion is after watching it, watching his reaction, he was looking for a reaction from Charlemagne. Like, hey, if they don't know me, they ain't even black, you know, and he kind of smiled. But, of course, people pull it out of context, and, of course, he has to apologize, you know. I think the difference between him and Trump saying some crazy-ass shit that wasn't exactly meant like that is Trump would not have apologized, you know.
Yeah, I think the thing I found most interesting about that was Biden, and his underlying assumption that African Americans should vote for him.
For sure.
And getting kind of angry about it. And why do I have to explain myself to you? You should just vote for me because I'm not Trump. And I think that's what he believes.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
And it just kind of was ugly watching it come out. Because it's it's the problem. What Charlemagne says is, what have you done for me lately? You know, it's not what you've done, but
sorry, man, I was humming.
What song is that?
What have you done for me lately? Ooh, yeah. Yeah, it's Janet Jackson.
Nice.
Anyway.
But I think every presidential candidate should have to not just say what I've done in the past, but what I will do in the future. You know?
Right.
What policies so just saying, hey, man, I'm the guy. I've done it before. I just don't think that's good enough. And it's exposing that. You know, this story is exposing that Biden has maybe, I think it's probably 50-50, you know, with the crime bill, which he's not going to go well for him. And then he's probably done some other things that probably bode well for him. But he's now going to have to come out with policies that are beneficial to African Americans, which everybody should do. I think, but that might not work out well in his favor. I just think that if anybody can screw that up, it's him.
Well, that whole moral posturing of like, obviously we're not racist, so you're not black if you vote for the horrible racist Nazi white supremacist Trump and all his followers. You know, it's why the Democrats are losing. In my opinion, my humble, oh so humble opinion, why they're losing the culture war. You know, it's that type of shit. Everybody sees through it. You know, I find it very interesting that, you know, since Elon Musk was on Joe Rogan and now Joe Rogan got sick of the fucking the censorship on YouTube, we're all fucking sick of it, dude. You know, it's like Alex Jones was like the battering ram and all that crazy son of a bitch, but he really is having an effect, it seems like to me. Elon Musk, Joe Rogan, it feels like that one podcast red-pilled and made it safe and kind of exciting for many people to come out and talk about being red-pilled. And we don't trust this leftist media. We don't agree with it at all. We don't think, you know, all the people on the right are racist or whatever, you know, all the narratives. But I find it a very amazing time to witness, and it makes me want to do more content because it's like something's catching fire right now. I think Biden's toast culturally. I think the Democrat Party has hollowed itself out to the point of almost zero credibility, except for the really dyed-in-the-wool motherfuckers. I think all the exciting energy is on the right. Have you been sensing that, Dave, in the last couple weeks? An awakening of sorts?
I have not.
Jesus, that was anticlimactic, Dave.
Well, I just don't feel it. I'm not feeling it. I just, you know, you watch Mitch. Who's representing the right? I mean, there's a couple old Todd and the Josh Hawley guy is pretty good.
Yeah.
But then you're dealing with these old-ass Republicans just like always, and they've become a stereotype of themselves. And
it's very
so
true.
I just wish they were better. You know, if you want to be the young – if you want to be the new thing, you know, get some new people. And
I guess I'm not so much talking about I'm sorry, you're right. The politicians are fucking old and lame. I guess when I say the right, it's more like not the woke left, you know, more of a fight that establishment power. And I called it the right, but I guess just more – I guess freedom thinkers or something. How would you phrase it? Do you feel something else coming up or not?
I do. I think the lockdowns are probably in places where they might be extended too much or been too severe, and people start to see the fist of government pressed down on them. Or just, that sounds harsh, but probably some people's eyes have been opened as to what the hell's going on. Why do they think they can do this? They were wrong, and they fucked up the economy. Why do we trust them? And then, yeah, I don't deal much on Twitter or Facebook, so I don't really have a great gauge on how people are acting there. But it seems that those formats are just saying, well, what are you going to do about it? You know, there really isn't a great alternative to those things. And at least not an alternative for the masses.
No, there's not.
That's technology that really should have been developed by now and hasn't been. And I wonder how much those big companies are buying technology that they're suppressing,
yeah,
or suing companies, or, you know, running patents on stuff and just, you know, suppressing advancement in that arena.
It's definitely happened.
Yeah.
Like Gab. Yeah. Like, there's been a handful of upstarts that really, I'm sure, were crushed, you know, by Facebook and whatnot. And I guess my point was, like, you're absolutely right as far as Facebook and all that censoring shit. And hopefully Joe Rogan moving over to Spotify has some kind of greater effect, you know, because I've sensed it on those companies, like a lot, or on Facebook, for instance. I got a lot of people that never would have dared say something nice about, you know, Alex Jones or being red pill or whatever it is, and they're coming out, and it's like this, it's safe. And I really appreciate that, like, Elon Musk, whatever he has in his head, made it, like, safe for these people to come out and go, hey, we can kind of, like, not be super scared to be, like, libertarians or somewhat to the right, you know. I can appreciate all that.
Well, it's funny, like, Alex Jones will be like, 97% of everything I say is correct. And that's not correct.
Yeah, but probably not.
The irony with that is that his general theory, mm-hmm, is correct. And so, yeah, you can't listen to every word he says or believe everything, but...
And he would tell you that, too. You know what I mean? I'm sure, like, if you got down to it, he's like, look... 40% of what I say, I mean, you just said 90, he claims 97%, but a lot of it's so fucking fantastic. You know, I'm sure he knows. Like, a lot of it is, one of the reasons that I listen to him and Ben Shapiro. Like, Ben Shapiro gives you the straight dope shit. It's really kind of boring, but it's really good. It's a great talker. Alex Jones is like doing that, but on acid, you know, and like he's a warrior from a different time. Like, it's totally wild. I appreciate it. Sorry, man. Did I steal your fucking thoughts, your thunder? I've been drinking too much Diet Coke, dude.
No. No, I was just agreeing and didn't know really what else to add to that. You know, I do think that it's possible that more people are listening to Alex Jones. It's possible that Joe Rogan has kind of started to be like, okay, like, maybe Alex Jones isn't as crazy as I thought.
Right.
And that he will carry not the Alex Jones message, but the Joe Rogan version of the, hey, watch the fuck out for government. Seriously, fucking don't let them do whatever they want message to the much larger audience. And I think that's a good thing.
And I think it started most recently with the Elon Musk podcast, as weird as it is. I mean, I literally had friends of mine texting me, man, I follow Elon, dude. Did you hear what he said? I'm like, yeah, it's shit I've been kind of trying to tell you for 3 years, but I'm glad Elon opened your fucking mind, you know?
Yeah, I actually still – I haven't seen that one. I saw the first Elon Musk podcast, but not this one. And apparently he was talking about, like, a brain chip or something, but
yeah.
I got to listen. He might have been joking. I'm not sure.
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He was – really going into like in like 5 years, how that'll be a reality and the benefits and things like that. But since that podcast, you know, he got such a pop from it. He's been tweeting out things like take the red pill, you know, or cancel culture. And it's just flying through the atmosphere, like online, and people are going, wow, I totally respect this guy, you know, and whatever. He's not the end all be all. I don't even know Elon Musk that well, you know, as far as what he does. I know he runs Tesla and SpaceX and the Boring Company or whatever, but, you know, I think he's been a real benefit to the cause, you know.
We'll see. A lot of people think he's just a fucking hack, but I wouldn't
know.
Well,
he fucking impregnated Grimes. That's pretty cool.
See, I don't know who Grimes is, but I'll assume she's attractive.
She's 30. She's a musician. I actually went to see her one time, but it was like I was bored waiting for her to come on, so I left. It was in Seattle. It was a free show. And they named their kid like – it's a series of letters and numbers, and it's very interesting. It puts, like, you know, Kanye naming his kid Northwest, like, really to shame as far as eccentric names for children go, you know?
Yeah, it's like an equation or something.
It might be an equation, yeah. Well, anyway, man,
right.
it's been a great talk, dude. I can't believe 50 minutes has probably gone by at this point.
Yeah, well, yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dave, for getting on the shit show with J-Boat once again. And we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Sounds good. Later, Jeff.
All right, see you, man.
And there you have it, folks. Another sparkling, glistening, wonderful episode of the shit show with J-Boat. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks, Dave. And we will see you guys soon. Shit, man. Go listen to that song by the Million Dollar Pussy Boys, please. We could use the views, man. And look out for the video by the one and only Ariel Pink collaborator, Juan Manuel Larrazabal, an amazing LA artist who did a bunch of animation for my song. Hell yeah. All right. We'll talk to you guys soon. This is the Shit Show with J-Bo. Take care. Bye.